You know, one of the things I was just thinking there, Chris, was we've talked an awful lot of nonsense over this podcast. And then I thought maybe we should go back and edit and make it more meaningful. But do you agree with this thing, folks, that this is what you're here for?
If this isn't what you're here for, we've got nothing else to offer you. Sensible Christian programming is out there for you.
You got one life. How are you going to use it? One life. Who are you going to be? One life. Dream it, don't refuse it. If you don't use it, then it's going to use you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the new episode of Where's the Joy in That?
Woo!
Yeah.
This is the podcast where we try to see the joyful and the positive side in things that are maybe a little bit harder to see the joyful side in them. And just as a disclaimer, we aren't going to say what Christians are supposed to say. We're going to say what we actually think about these subjects. And that might mean that it gets a little bit riskier and that you feel like dropping into our DMs and saying something. And that's okay with us. We would love to hear from you. But we just want to be honest and transparent with you, and we want to be real on this podcast. So this is going to be real joy. It's not going to be fake joy.
It's also, you know, you can go other places and find out what Christians should say or should think, but we're real people. So here we go. Let's venture together.
Let us be three-dimensional, joyful people.
This week's podcast is Where is the Joy in Lockdown? Oof. Or Lockdown. Or whatever the version is.
I believe it's pronounced lockdown.
Lockdown. I mean, obviously, I think they would understand the Scottish better, Chris.
Lockdown.
I know it's not a lock, like the Loch Ness.
No, it's not. No monsters in lockdown. Well, except for tiny, tiny little monsters, I suppose.
That's a really good point. Yeah, well, we know that obviously the COVID-19, this is a serious subject and not something that we take lightly. It's really affected everybody. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to find the joy and the positivity in being locked down, being shut in. Whatever your experience is, everybody in the world is having a different time, right, Chris?
Yep. This is absolutely not an attempt to make light of something that's been really serious and has affected us all, some of us more than others, in really, really deep and grieving ways. But what this is an attempt to do is to try and carve some joy out of that, to find some joy within the shadows of it all. And so we're going to look at the lighter side of lockdown. Where is the joy in lockdown?
Well, you know, one of my, I think what we'll be good at is looking at 2020 and some of the things that we struggled with. Like, let's talk about us. For those of you who don't know, this is Gareth talking here. I'm sure you can figure that out because Chris is posher than me. But
indeed,
yes. But we play in a band called Rend Collective, and our tour last year started in Australia. We were doing a world tour. We were all very excited, and we did New Zealand, Australia, and I think 1 week in America, and then the end.
'Twas kaput.
We were meant to be going everywhere, and it all stopped. And I think that became a real shock for us. For the last 10 years, we've been busy, Chris, right?
Absolutely. We have been wall to wall. We've actually released 12 albums in the time that we've been doing this. So that's slightly more than one album a year, which is slightly more than three times as many albums as any other band has done in that span of time. Except Switchfoot.
I guess, and except Taylor Swift in 2020, who brought out two albums.
She's a workaholic.
She was just bored.
I know. Of course. Good for her.
We've toured, I think we're on probably on the road about 130, 140 days of the year, mm-hmm. which is, you know, it's near half the year you're already doing something. So for us, we really felt the lockdown, not only because we couldn't leave our houses or couldn't connect with people, but also we were in the same place, which hasn't happened in a long time.
No, we have been nomads for 10 years and then finally being positioned within the walls of our house for, well, it was definitely a solid 6 months before we managed to leave the country.
Yeah, we got back to Northern Ireland. We were in Nashville, mm-hmm. and we couldn't actually leave for a while. We couldn't get back home. And then we got back home for 2 months and then, you know how it is.
Did you find that lockdown uncovered anything for you Did you feel like it revealed anything? You know, they said it was an apocalypse, and what apocalypse actually means is not like end of the world, like there's a meteor about to strike, but what it literally means is an unveiling or a revelation. Did you have an apocalypse during lockdown?
First of all, I don't know about you folks listening, but I've learned something today.
That's the hope. It was on my word for the day, toilet paper.
Is that true?
No, but imagine.
You don't want to be using words on your toilet paper. Nobody needs black print on their bits.
That's true.
Anyways, it actually really did unveil a lot of aspects. I like to do stuff. I like to be productive. One of the things that I tried to discipline myself in is being committed to following God's will, not my passion and pursuit of purpose, which is rather than purpose being my God being my God. And that's something I've known about my personality for a long time. But this year unveiled it so much. I think I saw how focus driven I was. For example, week one of lockdown, I decided to put a patio in with zero skills. I was off to everybody was at, B&Q or Home Depot or whatever, buying their gardening tools and all that. But I think it really showed to me how much I needed all of that, how much I was involved in all of that. It was a time for me to go, what's good about that and what's bad about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think maybe under stress, we just go into totally different directions. Because for me, I just managed to completely underperform under stress. I think for me, kind of the 12 years of hard touring, hard work without really taking a break or taking a breath, just completely caught up with me. So the first half of lockdown for me was finally like kind of checking the engine light on the inside of me, which incidentally, I have the check engine light currently on in my car. It's been on there for 3 weeks and I have no intention of checking into that any further.
It's funny, the maintenance light's been on my car for now 2 months.
My big hope is always that I'll turn it on and it will be gone.
A miracle Monday.
That's true. Miracle Mondays. We should do that.
Miracle mechanic. Mechanic miracle? Carry on.
It's a song title.
Carry on. Yeah. So how did you feel in all of that?
Yeah, I'm not sure how to turn this into a joyful conversation, but actually what I found the most healthy thing to do was I really dove into the Psalms of Lament. So I read this book called The Message of the Psalms by this guy called Walter Brueggemann, and just kind of, basically that book is all about the Psalms of Lament. That's the ones that he really digs into the most. Because most Psalms actually are laments.
Right.
And for me, it was actually just really healing to finally kind of say, hey, God, I haven't got this. And it feels like things are falling apart a bit. And to just give myself the space to say that instead of trying to put on a brave face, which is effectively, it's a little bit what our job is sometimes.
Right. Yeah.
It's like trying to keep everything together for the kids.
Well, when you think about it, when you're a band who is about joy, you can't get on the stage and be a real bummer. Like you can't oh, hi everybody, I'm having such a hard day.
This is very difficult. Boom, confetti cannons.
Well, it's something that I guess we have a commitment to, that when we walk on stage, no matter how we felt, we're like, okay, we're here now.
Yeah.
We're here to do the stuff. We're here. I think being with a new crowd of people, you feel like a provision of joy for those moments. But yes, it doesn't change what it's like off the stage.
No. And there's some kind of like, there's some perfect balance that you can strike between being disciplined to choose joy and then also allowing yourself the freedom to not choose it.
Right.
And there's some kind of perfect balance in there that I'm not sure I've ever really worked out. But choosing joy in all circumstances seems like a really amazing outlook. And I think it is, as long as you aren't lying to yourself.
Maybe it would be fairer to say choosing joy may not be finding joy in that exact moment, but we'll be choosing the path and the process to finding the joy through it.
Yeah. Like, for instance, Jesus talks about, the Bible talks about Jesus going to the cross for the joy set before him.
Right.
Obviously, it's not like he was like ripping out a confetti cannon on the cross.
Of course.
But there was joy set before him. It was joy was his motivation, and it was underpinning it, and it was working through it the entire time. And yet, obviously, it's a he laments on the cross. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? It doesn't get much worse than that.
And yeah, finding the joy is maybe working through the shadows and going through the valley of the shadow of death first.
Absolutely.
How did you find, I found for me, one of the joys of lockdown was enjoying again people.
Yes.
Like really treasuring relationships. Like I couldn't go and see my mom and dad, you know, my brother and sister-in-law or my nephews. I couldn't see a lot of my friends. And it made me really, like, for example, it made me like FaceTime for the first time ever or Zoom. Whoever would have known, if you can go back in time, anybody's got a time machine, buy shares in Zoom, Bitcoin and Tesla and Amazon and Apple.
And probably write the song Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, well, sorry. If you can go back further, invent Facebook, but we're digressing here.
It's turning into a time travel conversation. The joy of time travel is an easier topic than the one
we're
doing.
Just make sure what's the rule number one of time travel, Chris? Don't let yourself see yourself. Back to the future. It's a big deal because apparently it makes the space-time continuum explode. Anyway, I just found that connecting and talking and having conversation became really important to me rather than purpose and going out and doing, which incidentally I still love to do. I can't change who I am. I still love accomplishing things.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I love these podcasts because I feel like, oh, I'm doing something.
Right.
And it makes me a better dad. It makes me a better husband, a better friend because I'm doing things that make me feel alive. But I found in the season of lockdown, which we're still in, that people became way more important than purpose.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I definitely remember putting up on my Instagram about a few months in saying that I always thought that the best things in life were free, but they're not. All the best things in life are actually people.
Right.
Because not being able to hang out was just so painful. And I'm an introvert. So for the first 3 weeks, I didn't notice. I was just getting super recharged. But honestly, that I'm sure it's really painful for some of the people even listening right now.
Right.
Just that distance from others. We were obviously born for community. We are made in the image of a God who is in himself community. He is three in one. And so it's not surprising that we break and we ache a little bit whenever we're forced to be apart.
Yeah, and but Zoom's good.
It is good. And I think there's joy in realizing what you're missing sometimes.
Right, yes. You don't know what you have till you don't have it.
That's right. I mean, even the idea of going back and playing a show in an arena, that used to fill me with stress. I mean, I love doing it, but now it's like, I wish I could stand in front of that many people and just be like, let's celebrate the good news. Like, let's dance this. I can't wait to get back to that.
Yeah. Oh, totally. It's going to be a refreshment for us. And I think even, you know, wherever you are listening, whatever situation you're in, maybe you are really struggling right now. What is the joy in lockdown? Maybe for someone, Chris, at the moment, who's having a really hard time, it feels like they are still bang in the middle of the valley. What advice would you give them?
I can only really give the advice that I've kind of lived through myself, which is I don't think you can experience joy if you don't let yourself feel everything else first.
Right.
I would say just feel it all and allow joy to emerge in its own time. And I really believe that the hope of the gospel is that joy always comes in the morning. So there's no fear. We can sit through that darkness. We can sit with that sadness, even depression, knowing that joy will come in the morning. Just allow yourself to feel it all. Like the movie Inside Out, sadness is actually required as a balance to joy. It's hard to feel one emotion without the others.
Yeah, one of the things that I think we're not very good at as Christians is that D word, depression, you know? And goodness, I think I'm just done with like following churches on Instagram that are just telling me that all the good stuff. Like, you know, there are some churches that I would follow who really just want to give you the sparkly version. And I've actually stopped connecting with that myself because I'm like, but what about the real version? What about the person who's going through the really hard time? And then I've started following churches that are more honest because I'm like, oh, I'm finding that very helpful where I can be struggling and I don't need to just, you know, pray more.
Right.
Sure. I mean, praying's great. We can pray without ceasing. But I believe that there is a definition of prayer that we're maybe not hitting on, and there's a moment of honesty in our faith where it's okay to be who you are, be where you are, and realize that, as we said, the joy is a process. If the joy of the Lord is my strength, then I'm going to allow that to sustain me, to carry me until I probably find and feel it again.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. There's such a need for balance in our theology. Like, as much as there's victory in Christ, also he's called a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief.
Right.
And so often, and it's totally understandable, nobody wants to be acquainted with grief. I get why that isn't something that we post on Instagram all the time. But yet, doesn't it feel amazing when somebody says, yeah, I feel that too?
Right.
There actually is such a deep joy in just feeling known like that. When somebody says, yeah, that really does suck. I went through that and it's terrible. And for some reason that lifts everything, even though they've actually offered zero hope.
Right. Well, yeah. The joy of empathy.
Yeah.
Empathy is an amazing word because it's not sympathy.
No.
But it's actually saying, I hear you. You know, I understand. There's something that's like, it's not, oh, that is just hard, but it's like, I actually feel that with you. I empathize with you. And that's really what we need. That's what we're trying to do today for everybody out there, is we feel it with you. We have felt the pain of lockdown, but we're also finding the joy and the treasures of lockdown.
Hey, we just wanted to take a little second to say thank you to our amazing Patreon subscribers. You know, if you're interested in supporting us and supporting the podcast, head over to wrencollective.com/podcast and you can become a subscriber. We give amazing benefits to our Patreons at things like early access to tickets to our events, early access to brand new music, podcast episodes, all the kinds of stuff you would expect, merch items, more and more and more and more. Check it out at wrencollective.com/podcast. Now back to the episode. To move it on to a lighter note, the best part of lockdown in the USA, in my personal opinion.
Bring it.
Curbside service.
Curbside service. So explain that to people who maybe are in a country where convenience isn't as easy.
But Irishness is easier for them there. So curbside is this miraculous system of delivery that has the introvert in mind, where You message in your order, you drive up, you open your car door or the boot of your car or the trunk if you're American, and you text another wee number, and then a wee man comes out and he just sets the order in the back without you having to say one single word. This to me is the epitome of everything I've ever looked for out of customer service. No awkward small talk, no standing there, two texts. That's what I want. Two texts, drop it in the back. Don't even have to look at you.
You see,
that's the joy of people.
You see, the funny thing is, I'm the opposite of that. I'm like the guy who's winded down the window going, how are you doing there, mate? What are you up to today? I'm looking for the chat, you know, because dear Lord, I've only had the chat of Ali and three tiny children for the last week.
No, I've got my AirPods in and I'm not listening to anything, just in case they talk to me.
You're like, oh, so busy here. I'm on.
Might be on a call.
Oh, work call.
Just drop it in the back.
Curbside was great. A couple of other things that I really enjoyed was discovering a couple of shows. Tiger King, everybody got in on. I'm not going to say I got in on that.
I feel like I missed the point of the Tiger King.
Yeah, I got the first episode and then was like, I'm out.
That was where I was at.
Yeah, not Tiger King, but Give us another one that was good, Chris.
Ted Lasso. Greatest show on television.
This is the greatest show.
Let's talk about it from a Ren Collective perspective. Mumford & Sons do the soundtrack.
Smashing.
And they crush it.
Nail it.
There's a wee bit of football, which reminds us of home.
Oh, lovely.
There's a wee bit of cheekiness.
Wee bit of cheekiness.
And we appreciate that.
Wee bit of sarcasm and good old British cynicism.
And then there's just lovely, bright, optimistic, dare I say, Christ-like behavior on behalf of Coach Lasso that reminds you that human beings are still good, even in light of, at the time when I was watching Ted Lasso, kind of Instagram was telling me one thing about humanity. And Ted Lasso's like, do you believe in ghosts, Ted? Yes, but more importantly, I believe they need to believe in themselves.
And that was that mustache as well. You're like, that's just where that is literally where it's at. Yeah, you know what I loved about Ted Lasso was American foreign policy, not foreign policy. What is it? How Americans portray themselves maybe to other countries isn't always that favorable. And a lot of Americans, you know, feel embarrassed when they go on holiday sometimes. They're like, oh, we're going to get treated like the Americans.
Right.
I loved that this show was positive towards Americans because I've met more Ted Lassos when I've been in America than I have met, you know, the ones we're talking about that come on holidays and complain about there being no AC and complaining about how terrible our country is. But we have a lovely countryside.
We don't need AC. It's cold literally 98% of the time.
Just open a window.
Exactly.
But anyway, I really love that. I thought that was something that was very positive for Americans and self. I feel like there's a lot of self-doubt and self, I don't know, deprecation. I don't even know if that's
self-deprecation. Right. That's exactly the tone of Ted Lasso.
Yeah, but I feel like this was a lovely moment where Americans go, we are good people. Actually, we're decent, you know, and coming into that British culture, which, you know, is like, oh, well, we don't, kindness isn't really rewarded a lot of the time.
No.
Like when we grew up, we were joking before the podcast started, how you were just always preparing yourself to be made fun of way more than someone going, Chris, you nailed it today. You did a really good job.
I don't even know what to do with that.
Hey, Chris, just, you know what really encourages me and blesses me is just who you are as a person.
Thanks.
Never heard.
Nope.
You never heard
that. Thank you. I'm very uncomfortable.
But you never hear that. And it was lovely. That American optimism is something that I think we outside of America can really learn from folks in the States.
Yeah.
And I love that.
It was a really nice reminder, especially coming up to that kind of election season where the angrier side of humanity was totally on display. It was such a nice reminder that things like, there's even an episode of Ted Lasso that really hones in on forgiveness and what a beauty that is. That's kind of like, oh, thank goodness. That's just a wee ray of light into your Tuesday afternoon.
Can you remember the line that he says to her?
No, I can't.
No, me neither. Okay.
Researchers aren't coming through.
Where's our research team?
It's all right. It's like episode 8. Just zip on through there.
You know, one of the things I was just thinking there, Chris, was we've talked an awful lot of nonsense over this podcast. And then I thought maybe we should go back and edit and make it more meaningful. But do you agree with this thing, folks, that this is what you're here for?
If this isn't what you're here for, we've got nothing else to offer you. Sensible Christian programming is out there for you.
Yeah, you can find something else. I
can even recommend some things.
Yeah,
we'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah. But as ever, please do send us stuff if you think we should talk about something else.
Absolutely, we're into it.
Send it on in. Chris, let's just try and guide this ship safely into harbor.
Yeah.
What's one thing that we could take away from while we're in lockdown? We're here right now. We like the one thing of joy that we could practice today, a discipline. And the best bit about this is I ask this question first every time so I don't have to answer it. Give us something, one thing that you would take away, you know, you would give people.
I think the big takeaway of this season is the idea of solidarity and empathy. Mm. We've realized how much we need each other. And let's not let go of that. Let's not pretend like we don't, but let's lean in even further into that. Let's allow it to be painful to be apart so that when we get back together, we can actually celebrate each other and we can find the joy in each other.
That's awesome. Not to be too Ted Lasso about it, but I feel like this has been a little bit of a chrysalis time.
Mm.
And it's it's okay to be in that moment where you don't feel much movement.
Yep.
You've been wiggling around in your own wee, tiny wee leggy things, whatever caterpillars have, and you've been stuck. You've been locked down in a chrysalis. But this is a time where we can reinvent ourselves. We can change our career. We can change the path that we're on because we decide this isn't what we're about, because we have one life. You know, this is the moment. This is the time. It's not a dress rehearsal. So let's live it. Let's make it happen. Let's allow that beautiful butterfly to come out of that chrysalis and be something new, be something better, not just for ourselves, but for those around us. Because whenever we see someone else doing better, that should encourage us to be better. Not make us cynical or slag them off.
Absolutely.
So thanks so much for listening in. I hope this has been helpful.
And if you are still struggling with lockdown, just know that we get it and that Jesus definitely gets it. That actually we have a God who is totally capable of empathy. That's why it says in scripture, in the one verse that's easy to remember, Jesus wept. It's because he does understand what it's like. He came down here. He knows what it's like to hurt. And so if there's one thing that can strangely bring us joy, it's that Jesus knows what it's like to not necessarily be joyful all the time.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's really good. On Tuesdays, we do a Tuesday check-in mm-hmm. on our Instagram. So whenever that happens, just check in and let us know how you're doing. I hope everybody knows that we're all in this together and we cannot wait to actually worship together in person as well.
Confetti. Boom.
Boom. Thanks, folks.
You got one life. How are you going to use it? One life. Who are you going to be? One life. Dream it or refuse it. If you don't use it, then it's going to use you. Hey!
Hey, friends. We just wanted to say thank you for listening to today's episode of Where's the Joy in That? This podcast is a production of Ren Collective, and it's made possible by our fantastic Patreon supporters. If you want to find all the resources and more information about this podcast and all things Ren Collective, you can become a supporter of this podcast at rencollective.com/podcast.